Hello everyone, welcome to the 6th episode of Finding Turiya. Along with me, Aniruddhan, your host Aniruddhan here, and my friend Ramana with me. And today, as we know, the 4th episode, we had discussed the properties of the different planets, their exaltation, their debilitation, where they are strong and weak, okay, and how they operate in that. So the planets which we briefly covered were the Sun, which is our identity, our at a lower state, even the ego and our sense of independence, etc. Then we looked at the Moon, which is our emotional strength, our mind, the way we make sense of the world. We looked at Mars, which is our energy, which gives us the power to channelize towards objectives. We had a look at Venus, which is all about the feminine energy and how it can take us to a state of bliss. So these were the planets which we've covered. We also covered Saturn, which is all about discipline, endurance, fortitude, and the ability to be dynamic and personalized, and also a sense of justice. These are the traits of Saturn. The remaining four planets are Jupiter, Mercury, Rahu, and Ketu. And Rahu and Ketu, of course, being a rather unique conception in Indian astrology. We will first start with Guru. Guru is considered to be the most benefic planet of all. In one sense, he is seen as someone who gives good fortune, gives a sense of lightness, is considered to be the most sattvic planet. I'm using the word sattvic here in the sense of it gives us balance, discernment. Anything which helps uplift us is considered to be sattvic. Okay, and Guru is considered the primary sattvic planet. And Guru is owns two Rashis, which we've discussed, Pisces and Sagittarius. In Pisces, he's like this quiet, dreamy guy. Okay, he's in his dreams. It's a lot about imagination, connecting with different planes of consciousness, etc. Then we come to Sagittarius, where Guru is a priest. He is the Ishwara, the cosmic order of the universe, Ritam, the word where Ritam means truth. So in a cosmic sense, that represents Guru in Sagittarius. Then we finally have Guru in his exalted state in Kanya Rashi. Now, when we pray to the divine, right, it's like the grace of Guru which descends on us. And we pray to the divine for protection, right, and compassion. And Cancer is a Rashi which represents protection the most. So it is in Cancer that Guru, the Divine Spirit, is exalted. But you also see that the weakest Rashi of Guru is Makara or Capricorn, which is all about structures. And that shows that the Divine Spirit is not bound by structure. It is a complete loss of the potency of the divine power if we try to structure it and try to predict it. It is in our faith that propels the divine power to the highest within us. Cancer being a sign which indicates faith very strongly. In our mind, if we are firm in our belief, then the divine spirit can descend on us. And that is, I guess, the message of an exalted Guru in Cancer. And now we've covered Guru. We are going on to Mercury. Mercury is considered, it's one of the most active and popular planets of our day and age, I guess. It is all about the thinking process. First, he owns two Rashis, Gemini and Virgo. Gemini is all about mental processes, information, etc. While Kanya or Virgo is all about clearly defined categories, etc. Mercury is exalted in his own Rashi of Virgo because it shows that the mental process, when it is used for discernment, being very neutral and executing your decisions in a neutral, decisive manner, these are all properties of an exalted Mercury in Virgo. But the same thing is Mercury, on the flip side, being weakest in Pisces, shows that when we try to apply our intellect, specifically the discriminating, dividing intellect, into our planes beyond us or into planes of imagination, that's when it fails. And that is why Mercury is debilitated in Pisces. We then come to the last two planets, Rahu and Ketu. These are imaginary points From an Earth's perspective, it looks as though the sun goes around the Earth, right? As well as the moon going around the Earth. So there are different orbits which are considered as the sun's imaginary orbit and the moon's imaginary orbit. And the points where they intersect with each other, these two imaginary orbits intersect with each other, is called the nodes of the moon. Okay, and these nodes in English are given the Sanskrit name of Rahu and Ketu, or Chaya Graha is a term, shadow planet. Okay, Rahu represents...
Just one interruption and a question here.
Yeah, sure.
This point of nodes that you have mentioned, is that something that is there in astronomy as well? That these are the imaginary points of...
Astronomical point. It's an astronomical point which is calculated. Like I mentioned, right, see, those days when we observe the relative motion of the Earth and the Sun, okay, with each other, people assumed that the geocentric model, right, assumed that it is the Sun which appears to move around the Earth, right, in the cosmos. When we, from an Earth's point of view, it looks as the Sun is going around. So this is an astronomically calculated point as well. Okay, I mean, you can calculate it. People do observe these points. For example, what is a lunar eclipse, right? Or a solar eclipse? It's when the orbits of the Earth and the Sun of the Sun and the Moon around Earth coincide with each other, right?
Right.
On one side, if it is they're directly opposite each other and their orbits coincide means, then it becomes a solar eclipse.
Right.
Okay.
So, are these eclipses then the points of Rahu and Ketu?
The eclipses are a special variation in which the Rahu and Ketu are present. See, think about it this way, right? We don't have eclipses all the time, right?
Right.
So the point is when they intersect, when there's a complete blockage, when their orbits are in line with each other, right? Think of it as two circles around Earth, okay? And when you have both the planets at the same point while viewing from Earth, okay, then there's an eclipse which occurs, right? Okay.
So then Rahu and Ketu are, the eclipse is a special condition of the points of Rahu and Ketu.
That would broadly cover it. Yes, always it is there that somewhere their orbits will appear to intersect with each other, right? I mean, any two orbits, if they are intersecting, it will appear as though there are two points at which they are intersecting. Okay, two circular orbits. Okay, and those two apparent points are called Rahu and Ketu. When the Sun and Moon are present in their apparent points of intersection, that's when eclipses are caused. Okay, so that was the astronomical significance of Rahu and Ketu. We now come to the psychological significance. Rahu represents a desire, the unknown, excitation. So there is this whole concept of our body, I'm bringing in a specific scientific concept here, of our body having certain rhythmic motions within us, like our heartbeat, etc. But there are also certain non-rhythmic dynamics, which is considered to be as noise within the body. Okay. But we are now fast coming to the understanding that this non-linear dynamic within the body is not noise alone, but it has got a purpose. Like it's a completely random situation, right? When which neuron gets excited, etc. within the brain. Okay. So that excitation is a dynamic variable which we don't quite know about. Likewise, people, their chemical responses could get deactivated, right? This causes apathy, mental illness, etc. But we also need to deactivate at that time. We are not always on a high. We do get deactivated as well. Okay. So if you are to psychologically look at it, anything which activates you, triggers you, pushes you further is considered to be Rahu, excitation. Anything which makes you apathetic, detached, is considered to be Ketu. Okay. And bringing back, so Rahu operates at three levels. We have Rahu in Taurus, which is all about being drawn towards the objects of desire. Okay. And normally Shukra also owns Rahu, Taurus. Chandra also is exalted in Taurus. And we see that Taurus has got a lot of significance. Our desires, right? There are so many type ways in which we can get desire. Some is when we perceive a new object, we want to long to possess it and we are driven towards possessing it. Okay, that would be more of what I call a Shukra-based urge. Chandra is when your mind is able to perceive the reality correctly. Okay, and you know your mental is what your body requires, that is what your need is. Okay, that would be the exaltation of the moon or Chandra in Taurus. We come to Rahu in Taurus. It's all about what excites me when I consume something. Okay, Shukra is more of desire, but Rahu is more of excitation and craving, etc. That it goes more into that territory. When you start anticipating the desire and all that, that goes more into Rahu's territory. Rahu is the next is also in Kumbha, Aquarius. Rahu is the planet which, you know, kind of, see, we make a lot of interactions around in the world, right? You might have a lot of friends. With some people, you're just able to bond. With some people, you don't. You don't know why it happens. At a very surface level, certain wavelengths get together, certain wavelengths don't match. Rahu is this dynamic factor which helps you to sort of, you know, gel with another person. Okay, or gel in a particular interaction. And it is a random variable, right? You have no real control on it. Rahu, in some sense, is the randomness of the universe. Okay. And finally, we have exalted Rahu in Gemini. Now, where does thought come from? I mean, a scientist or what I would call a reductionist scientist view would be that there are certain chemicals which occur within interactions going on with you. And these generate the random processes of thought. Okay, and the question is an interaction and everything else. Okay, but is thought a plane in itself? Indian philosophy might have more because they believe that at a very basic level, they believe that the creation itself was a function of God's thought process. The creator Brahma was able to think and thus creation occurred. Okay, and so it could be more, it could be a lot more fundamental in terms of how, what is thought? Is thought a separate plane in itself? Okay. Are there ideas which are there, but we just strike them like lightning strikes us and it comes in? What is it that gives us new ideas, new inspirations, new forms? Okay. We have our own individuality, but it expresses itself out in different multiple forms, right? So this diversity of thought, diversity of interaction, diversity of desire. Rahu is in many ways the diversity and the randomness of the world. Okay. We next come to Ketu. Ketu is usually considered to be a mokshakaraka, giver of jnana, in the sense of someone who can give you knowledge, insight through detachment. As you get detached more and more, right? And biologically, this happens to us as well, right? As we become older and older, we tend to become more detached from several objects. We don't get the same level of arousal or desire as we were when we were younger. You could view it from physiological processes, the ability of your neurons to not get excited as much, but to gradually become more detached. Ketu is, again, works at three levels. Ketu in Scorpio is all about getting detached from the inner physiological processes. Okay, the arousal, the pushes, the hidden impulses, all of that we do get detached from, and Ketu is that. Ketu in Leo is all about being independent, expressing yourself, and it's not outward expression, rather you just want to be independent. You're detached from that sense. Anything which is obstructing your independence, you might just tend to get detached from it. Okay. Finally, we have Ketu in Sagittarius, which I mentioned as the cosmic soul, the Ishvara, etc. And there we see that Ketu is a detached planet. When you get it from the cosmos itself, right? That detachment can take you to that universal experience which you are looking for, which people could look for potentially. See, as we get detached, if we were to take Ketu as an independent stage, right? As we get detached from more and more things, we gradually discover our own independence in our inner strength of functioning. Likewise, Ketu in Sagittarius is as you get detached more and more from the external forms of material manifestation, that's when you're able to realize the cosmic spirit. So that broadly covers the psychological significations of the planets. Ramana and I will discuss further on what does this mean for all of us and what were Ramana's views on these particular planets and astrology as a whole.
No. I mean, I obviously don't have any particular views about planets and astrology as a whole. Mm-hmm. But maybe it was more about you giving a different perspective. So right now, what you've come at is more from the angle of which planets are owning which sun signs. Okay?
Right. Mm-hmm.
So maybe if you can flip that around in terms of, so as a summary of sorts, because I now understand what you mean by when you say that Rahu is debilitated in a particular planet and Ketu is debilitated in a certain other planet. Mm. But a quick reference of it being the other way around in terms of the Rashi-wise significance, maybe?
Okay, fine. So we'll start from the Rashi. I can see one, Ramana, good point that you had made, that generally Rashis are the way people make sense of astrology, right? Okay. And people think in terms of Rashis in the Indian system and terms of sun sign in the Western system. They think of it in terms of the zodiac sign and the properties which are supposed to define us. So definitely see, we try to label ourselves with one particular category and say, for example, I'm born in January beginning, so I'm a Capricorn. Okay. And oh, these are the properties of Capricorn. This is how I am.
Okay. Right.
The key is that it's a very simplistic view of it. I don't think we can blame people for doing that in the past simply because the tools were not sophisticated, right? We didn't have the technology to measure all of the houses, planets. It was not mass distributed, right? In India, at least, the system was that only royalty time of birth was accurately noted on, and their full charts were prepared. And even there, there are something known as divisional charts, which talk of 16 divisional charts. And these 16 divisional charts were not calculated even for the royals. Only at most one more chart would have been calculated, called the Navamsa. So in some sense, we are very fortunate to live in an age where the accuracy and the computational power of horoscopes is phenomenal, is pretty phenomenal, and can be used for a lot of people. Okay, so I think definitely there's potential for increasing our awareness of astrology and making it deeper. But yes, this is what we typically think of Aries means like this. So we will have a recap, as you mentioned. Now I'll take it from the zodiac sign point of view to cover all the 12 signs. Okay. We first have Aries as the starting sign. In two episodes back, we had spoken that Sun is exalted, Saturn is debilitated, while Mars owns Aries. What this means is Aries is a Rasi of initiating action, the first house. Okay. And the first house is something which drives across, which makes a drive across our objectives from a Martian perspective, that is from an energy perspective. Sun implies that by our very presence, we are independent. Okay. We are born independent, if you will. I don't know if birth is a deciding criteria, but we are independent as we are. Okay. That's why Sun is exalted. Why Saturn is debilitated is we are trying to compress our energies. We are trying to conform to our energies without expressing our energies. Okay. The spirit cannot be conformed to, right? Spirit is spirit. While Saturn is all about conformity, compliance, etc. Spirit is just being. That's why Saturn is very weak in Aries. We next come to Taurus. Taurus is owned by Shukra, as discussed earlier. We have an exalted moon there, and we have a very strong Rahu in Taurus. Taurus is the second house of speech, of appearance, of family, of assets, etc. So we tend, and energy, our possessions, etc. And typically astrology views our possessions, monetary possessions, etc. as a type of energy. Okay. And so when we have a possession, right, it is a certain energy which we are attracting towards us. And that is the nature of Shukra, is to attract energies. The feminine energy is to draw it in. Taurus, moon is exalted in Taurus because it speaks all about how the mind is. The mind makes sense of the world based on its own personal energies, my own possessions. That's what my need is, and that's how I make sense of the world. Okay, that is why it moon is exalted in Taurus. We then come to Rahu, which is all about desires, being drawn towards desires, our anticipation towards desires. It also stimulates the mind towards desire, and these are all the functions of Rahu. We next come to Gemini, which is owned by Mercury and has an exalted Rahu. Again, here Gemini, Mercury gives us the ability to process information in a very neutral manner. Okay, and it is also a way in which we communicate with each other, information flow, etc., our thought process, etc. Rahu is exalted here because we are able to connect with people at the level of thought in terms of communication or sensing the world, right? We are drawn towards that which is at the level of thought and which is a more fundamental source of diversity, right? Okay, so that's why Rahu is exalted in Gemini. It could be a plane of consciousness, etc., when we are speaking of thought. So, but broadly, yes, that's why Rahu is exalted in Gemini. Next, we come to Cancer, which is all about the owned by the moon and has an exalted Jupiter. The moon is completely what you would call rhythmic. The moon has stable habits. The moon is rhythmic in the sense we see the waxing and the waning phases of the moon, right? Or to use the Sanskrit word Shukla Paksha, Krishna Paksha. Okay, the bright and the dark fortnight of the moon. So it is all about stable rhythms, nurturing, being in the womb, being protected by the mother, etc. And Cancer moon is like a mother, considered to be a mother and someone who protects. But we have an exalted Jupiter here, which shows that when we truly pray to the divine for protection and with faith, it is the divine spirit which comes in, which comes down to protect us. We then have Leo, which is owned by the sun. No planet is exalted or debilitated here, but Ketu is strong here and Rahu is weak here. We come to the sun, right? Leo is all about being unique, expressing that uniqueness. Okay, it is a very outward directed expression of uniqueness. Okay, and it is not an energy, it is just being. Okay, so if you are able to be truly detached like Ketu, the sun clearly, Leo clearly gives you the strength to be detached in your unique identity. Rahu likewise, however, is a little weaker here because we are all the trying to project our identity rather than just learning to be ourselves. Okay, that's why Rahu is weak here. The sun, of course, was by default a planet which just is. Okay, in Leo, it just is expressing itself uniquely rather than Aries, where it is being itself. Okay, we then come to Kanya or Virgo, where we have exalted, it's owned by Mercury, exalted Mercury, and weak and debilitated Venus. Here, Kanya, as we discussed earlier, is all about Mercury being in its analytical ability, clearly categorizing it and able to move on. Able to clearly discriminate and cut through our ignorance. We have a debilitated Shukra here because the moment we start analyzing pleasure, right, we lose the joy of pleasure. We become stuck in trying to dissect it, trying to analyze our choices, trying to analyze our vibrations, etc., instead of accepting energy as it is. Okay, so that is why Venus, the feminine energy, the energy which we draw in ourselves, becomes debilitated in Virgo. We next come to Libra. Libra is the seventh house. The other person, the significant other, or your personalized interactions, where you have, it is owned by Venus Exalted planet is Saturn. A debilitated planet is the Sun. Okay. And there we see that in Libra, owned by Venus implies that it is a Rasi which is a very strong ability to sense the nuance and the energy vibrations with another person, with in our one-to-one interaction. Okay. Saturn is all about making sure, giving us the strength to adjust with each other in a one-to-one relationship. The Sun is debilitated here because instead of being identified with the spirit within us, we are identified with something completely external to us. Okay, and identifying with a partnership. And that is why the Sun is debilitated in Libra. We then come to Scorpio, which is owned by Mars, which has a strong Ketu in Mars and a weak moon. Ketu in Scorpio, and we have a weak moon in Scorpio. Okay, Scorpio, we have Mars as the basic instinct, the survival instinct, life, etc. Right? So Mars is all about the energy of life coming out, okay, and rising. Ketu is detached in the sense it allows strong here because it allows us to get detached from our physiological processes and look to a different reality within us. Okay, a moon is debilitated here because instead of being driven externally by our sense of the world, we are trying to look internally and try to understand our physiological processes, which are energy based processes and which cannot be made sense of in the sense that it is just an energy automatic hidden process, right? Okay, so that is why we can't make sense of a process which is meant to remain hidden within us. Okay, it is an automatic process. It happens without our awareness, and rather than strenuously trying to be aware of it, and it doesn't give us warmth, right? We can't nurture our physiological processes. We can nurture our body, we can take care of it, physical health, but can we nurture the hidden physiological processes? That's why Moon is debilitated in Scorpio. We next come to Sagittarius. Sagittarius is all about the cosmic principle, and the cosmic principle, Jupiter signifies the dynamic moving cosmic principle, right? The universal spirit, if you will, guiding across, or to use the Indian terminology, Ishvara. We have a strong Ketu, as I mentioned, that Ketu is exalted because it helps us to get disconnected and to view that cosmic spirit, if you will. Okay, Rahu is weak here because we are drawn towards something external as the cosmic spirit rather than finding the cosmic spirit within us. We then come to Capricorn, which is all about the stability of the cosmos, the observable, tangible, material reality, the order and the structure of the world is Capricorn. The 10th house, it is considered to be the most significant house by a lot of most stablest and most strongest house in the zodiac. Capricorn is all about endurance, strength, stability. It is owned by Saturn. It has an exalted Mars and a debilitated Jupiter. Mars, Saturn in Capricorn implies the stability of the cosmos, the material, tangible compliance of the laws of karma to us. Mars exalted implies the ability to drive across the objectives which we have in our mind. The ability to know the constraints of the situation and to drive our objectives across is indicated by an exalted Mars in Capricorn. Jupiter means we are trying to make sense of the external world by trying to understand the spirit of it. Okay, the spirit is something which is found within us, right? It is a spirit which rises within our faith, our inner processes, our inner spiritual nature is within us. Okay, in our conceptions, in our thought. All of this lies, our inner spirit lies within us, rather than looking to an external tangible reality to understand the spirit. And that is why Jupiter is debilitated in Capricorn. We then come to Aquarius, where we have Saturn as the owner, Rahu being strong and Ketu being weak in Aquarius. Saturn in Aquarius implies that We are connected across. There are networks connecting us. We are all in this together. We are all connected, and there is something binding all of us together in this particular creation of the cosmos, both static and dynamic. We are all in this together. We are all connected. Rahu helps us to go into the non-linear paths, if you will. If Capricorn is all about linear processes and structure, Aquarius is all about the non-linear dynamics and the situations and change which we come across in the world. And Rahu is very strong in the sense it helps us by our instincts and our cravings. We are put up, it's not an instinct, not a craving, but rather our push to connect towards things which gives us different experiences. And that's why Rahu is very strong in Aquarius. We see that when we have diverse interactions, then we improve as a whole. We grow as a whole. And that is why Rahu is strong in Aquarius. Ketu makes us detached towards all change, towards all external stimulus or events. And that is why Ketu is weak in Aquarius, because we are not able to take on the lessons of the world within us. Okay, finally, we come to Pisces. The dream, the sleep, connecting with different planes, all of that comes under the domain of Pisces. It's operated by Jupiter, which signifies that fundamentally the astral plane or our dream world is a different world from us. Venus is exalted here because it shows that by channelizing the energy we receive from out from the world within us, and into a different plane of consciousness, okay, we can transcend the world by channelizing the energy which we receive from the world. Okay, that's why Venus is exalted in Pisces. And finally, we have Mercury debilitated in Pisces, because the mental operations cannot, the intellect, the dividing intellect cannot cut through something which is fundamentally not divided and is a unity in itself. Pisces can consider to be the best definition possible of Nirguna Brahma, of something which has no attributes. And Mercury is something which can divide only if it has its attributes. Okay, so Ramana, that pretty much completes the summary as well as the discussion we had on the different signs. So would you want to add on anything about this?
No, but one thing maybe for a future episode would be that. So, these signs are dictated, or there are certain dominant traits right now. Right. How much of one individual's behavior is dictated by this, or how much of it is, how much of my own behavior is independent or breaking away from what is, say, indicated by the sunshine and the planet that is dominant and so on, right? Maybe that's an idea to be explored at a later point.
I think so, Ramana. Maybe it could be a philosophical discussion on what am I? Because all the questions you're asking is, you're assuming there is an I, you're assuming there are planets, and you're assuming there are differences between the planets. So there are a lot of statements. It might be a good discussion of what am I?
Okay, right. Fair enough.
Yeah. So maybe whenever you're free, we'll catch up. So thanks a lot, everyone, for listening in. Please do mail me at anirudh.n for any query. And thanks a lot, Ramana, again.
And any other future episode suggestions also, you guys are most welcome to send it across to us.
Okay. Definitely. Thanks a lot, Ramana, for the suggestion.